Blog Talk Radio.
At least not on air.
Went down with Jeff Fisher and the Tennessee Titans needing this win just as much as Manning, who came in with three straight losses. The Titans were once upon a time 5-2. They came in as 5-7. Several game absence, and Dwight Freeney comes from all the way on the other side of the field to knock the ball loose. The Colts recover.
That's what this defense does. It hustles, it pursues, and it's relentless to the ball. Here they get a takeaway.
What a big-time play right there, and it put Peyton Manning right back on the field, and he went right at Cortland Finnegan on nothing. 15 straight quarters, it looked like the Titans would go without scoring an offensive touchdown when Cricket Johnson makes the play out of the backfield on the dump-off pass. Johnson then would then take it in from there with his first rushing touchdown in 3 weeks. 21-7 at the half, and then the Titans got the ball to start the second half. Randy Moss did a lot of that tonight.
Sure didn't play much.
Kenny Britt was back, and he was the man taking over the number one receiver spot, even though he didn't start. And Kenny Britt on an 18-yard corral and a first down to the 8, converting on third down. And this crucial opening possession of the second half wound up with a touchdown. Turn those machines back on. We've got a game. Craig Stevens with a 7-yard score. Titans' first touchdown pass in 3 weeks also. So it's a one-possession game. Third and goal on the Colts' next drive. Reggie Wayne broken up by Blair White.
What a great defensive play by Blair White.
Peyton Manning have a nice jolly moment with his injured-reserved all-pro tight end, Dallas Clark, who's making the trips with the Colts, who made a very important business trip here to Tennessee, and they come out with a crucial win. The Titans now fall to 5-8, and you have to wonder how in the world they're going to have a roadmap to the playoffs if they win out. By taking a look at the standings right here, you have to figure the winner of this division is going to have an above 500 record. And now the Titans will have to go eventually into that good night with the VY / Jeff Fisher scenario.
And welcome, boys and girls, to The Balance. We are right here at Panera Bread, where Kevin, are you going to be all right today?
I am okay.
Well, as you guys have probably noticed, that the Colts won on Thursday, and what a game that was. We had an opportunity to pull out a win on that after several crazy games, Kevin. What are your thoughts on that, on the game on Thursday night?
Well, you know, I'm glad we got to watch a game. Peyton finally put a little bit to rest with him. Everybody was worried about Peyton. Everybody said Peyton wasn't there. He lost his touch. You know, he went 319 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know, he's had the other games where he's had a lot more touchdowns passing, but, you know, this one he actually showed a little bit of the old man in back. And Reggie Wayne actually had caught the belt of the football this time instead of whatever he's been doing.
He's got his mojo back.
The mojo is coming back.
The mojo is back. And hey, we are back right here at The Balance. Welcome right here. We are doing a live broadcast also on Ustream. And our Ustream viewers, we do want to tell you real quickly, as a programming note, we're still working out all the kinks for you. Now, you guys will be able to hear us, but you won't be able to hear any outside audio. So sometimes if it looks like we're just sitting here, well, that's probably taking a call. We'll do our best. What's going on? And right alongside us here is our new commentator, Josh Allen, who's in the game for us. He's here to give us our conversation off. So, Josh,
how are you? I'm good.
I'm good. And I hear, you know, those of you that were with us last week, we said the first 10, what was it, the first 10 out?
First five.
First five. They came in and I heard you had a great time. Great. Well, now we're also we've got on Blog Talk Radio, we've got our chat room open, and I know that Russ, good to have you here on with us in the chat room, and you know, this is Fantasy Football Huddle, and I know you have a fantasy football question. We'll get to that right here in just a second about Matt Castle having an appendectomy, having his appendix out unexpectedly. I don't think anybody's suspecting. Hey, today it's always an emergency. Yeah. Whoever has an appendectomy.
Yeah, there's no planning on that.
So, you know, and here's the thing. I want to let all of us know that Fantasy Football is now a part of the balance. And so that's not gone away. At least the NFL goes away. You can download the podcast on iTunes, put it on your iPod, and of course our viewers are right, and you can find us on Facebook, and Kevin will make sure that that link put on Facebook as well. So, this was what, with Matt Castle being out, I'm benching Bo, leaves me to choose between Donald Driver, Robert McNamb, and Danny
Amendola.
Yes, you see, I put to have my eyes checked yesterday.
She's the one for speed.
That's next. So it turns out that I've got to have glasses. So, you know, I had to go through that whole process and dialing. I walked out of it. I had no clue what the little sensitive meant. If you have Donald Driver, I like Donald Driver. I like where he's been coming at. But if that's your other choice, now my question would be to you, Russ, is we're talking about two positions here. So with Matt Castle being out,
he's not wearing Castle. He's pension foe.
Okay.
So, what's left in his spot at the receiver?
I understand the question. You know. There again, it goes to my blindness.
Well, yeah, sure. That's what we blame.
Well, Kevin, you're in charge of the chat room. So, if you guys want to talk on the chat room, make sure to do that. Kevin, what are your thoughts? I like Donald Driver on that particular situation. What are your thoughts?
So, out of the choices between Driver and Meekham, your English language is rubbing off of me. Or lack thereof. And Amendola, I'd have to go with Driver also. Like you said, Driver, the numbers he's been putting up, I don't see change. There's no reason either playing this week to think his numbers won't be consistent with what they've been. So out of those choices, I would definitely go with Driver. But like you said, Tom, Russell, you know, you also said that you're leaning towards Driver. Kind of let us know in the chat room why you're leaning towards Driver. You know, kind of give us an input on that.
And
I would start
meeting them personally.
Okay. Marcus, do that.
The Saints are playing.
Hey, how's your fantasy? Did you make it to the playoffs?
I believe I did, but I lost the first round.
I was in 5 seed, so I think that I'm still in five and on the hard. You're not in it, man. You're higher, man. I'm in several. I have a second.
I'm only in two.
How's that working out for you?
Well, and one of the reasons that I was looking at the driver was I was looking at, and I knew they were playing, like you said, with Meacham, not a very good team. Green Bay is going up against Detroit. And if Aaron Rodgers was anything like he's been doing, Detroit should be a team that Aaron Rodgers could put good numbers up, which in turn will help drive out tremendously. That's one of the reasons I was looking at driver.
And I've said,
it's been one of those years where it's just been hard for the fantasy guy like myself to make the predictions.
Again, guys, my name is Tom. Run alongside here with Hardcore Crime, that Redneck, Billy, Kevin, Josh,
commentator,
talking a lot about his time in the military.
Booyah.
So he was in the Marines.
That's your lady is calling so that I may talk, squirrel.
Well, those of you that don't know what we're talking about, that's the two man time. The squirrel is fungus. But appreciate jumping in on the chat room here and Kevin's right there, and certainly any questions that anybody has. Jump right.
Right across.
come in, right? It's a good day to try the playoffs.
It is. But it could have had a little higher success than 5 in the
year. I agree, Kevin.
Yeah. That's why I'm in the middle. I make the 2 of the inning look a lot better.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Thank you real quick to Russ for the time he did while he was in the military. Again, from two veterans to another, thank you. And I know you have your time. You say you're calling in tonight. Looks like you probably worked, I guess. Today is a big Army-Navy game, so when we talk in college, we'll make sure we bring that up, the Army-Navy game today. But, again, thanks, Russ, and... we'll be here same time next week at 8 o'clock Indianapolis time. Come and join us next week, Tom. Russ, yeah, we'll call him Tom. Russ, join us. Let us know how you week was in fantasy. Let us know if you want it. You made it part of the playoffs. Keep us informed on this type of thing.
That's right. We appreciate all of us. Give us a call. 995-6 on the line. Also, we've got a Skype account.
I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them.
I tell you, and I, but one good thing about the very next play, he had him out there, he was throwing the other way. So we'll say that. Peyton might give you a triple, but he trusts his receiver. But I have to admit, that was the best defensive play of the game.
I'm kind of not on this whole national player wise thing.
Playing hard out.
It was a stupid mistake. But that's not even the worst mistake he had in the game. Under no circumstances should you ever bat a punt out of bounds.
I totally forgot about that. Thanks for bringing that up there, Josh. That's another thing. Now, here's the thing. I will say this about Tyler. In all fairness, he has really been out to the house, and he has filled the gap. And you know what? It's fun to have fun and have a couple of people on the But it was just like one of those conversation moments where you're like, you know. But according to Peyton Manning, he was definitely going to. Yeah, and he wasn't. The other angle was.
Where White came from, White is one of those receivers where, and we talked about that, and when everything starts up, they start practicing receivers back. We made the comment that it doesn't matter to him what the practice squad. Because once you put, when the team puts a play on the practice squad, you need to put a play against them. I don't think White might be around too. White makes shows and skills.
I don't think he'd be here now. I think he'd be up in Foxborough.
He would be, as soon as he would have hit the practice line at Ellsville for the other football teams, he would no longer be a Colt. I don't know where he'd be, because a lot of teams need receivers right now, but he would not be a Colt.
And I agree. I think that, we dawned on Bill Foyan and now. Is that his son's name? I think so. Is it?
No, that's Chris Foyan.
Chris, okay. Maybe we'll get him on the show and talk about their draft and strategy. But we as fans, that's what we are. That's one of the great things about our show. We're just like you guys. We're fans and we can talk sports. And we just have a good opportunity here, a good medium to do it. But really, we talk to sports. That's why we're here for fun. You know, we're on to that. And we break down the strategy of the draft. But, very, 1980s time, we have been right there in the thick of it. And so we can look at
Caldwell.
But at the end of the day, somebody might be something else.
I think
Garvey seems to be pretty good to get stuff here. Right, and I know we got a caller on the line. My son's Zach from North Carolina. How are you doing, Zach?
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good.
Yeah.
Welcome to the balance. You are definitely representing that Colts and Reed right here.
Hey, Dad, I can't really hear you at all.
Okay. Oh, I'll stand by. Can you hear us now?
I hear an owl in there.
Okay, can you hear us now?
Yes.
All right, now we're good. We had Josh on the line with us too, but so we just disconnected him. He can get back on here in just a minute. He's right here in the studio with us. Zach, I hear you are wearing a new Marine uniform this week.
What was that?
I hear you were wearing a new Marine uniform this week with a belly about as big as mine. Are you there? Hey, Zach, this is Kevin. Can you hear me? Blog Talk Radio. Okay, Zach, are you back with us?
Yes.
Okay. Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Zach, sorry about that. I was just talking about your baby uniform. I said the new Marine uniform that kind of filled out the belly bigger than mine.
Yes, my wife and I were definitely excited. We're having a little baby girl in March. She's definitely going to be a little Colts fan. So we've already got some little Colts onesies for her.
Are you sure you don't want a Philadelphia Eagles onesie?
What's that?
Are you sure you don't want a Philadelphia Eagles onesie?
Oh, no. I'll let a baby in need have that.
Well, Zach, we're glad you're joining us. For those of you of our listeners that don't know, this is my son, Zach. He is proudly serving in the Marines. Zach, tell us a little bit about life in the Marines and what it's like this time of year. And I know that you just recently were in Afghanistan, and a lot of your unit is being deployed again. Tell us a little bit about that and how much of the ability and availability to sports do they have, and just kind of from a soldier's point of view, as a sports fan, tell us about that, especially during the point of deployment.
All right, well, the thing, it's really not a good time because I love sports, but when I'm training or deployed, I catch news clippings from three games later, and so it's really hard to track sports, believe it or not. It's just a hit or miss on whether you can watch it or hear about it, and you just hope and pray that your team's doing well. You're just kind of like a silent fan, I guess you could say. But I wouldn't change it for the world, though. I love my job. Granted, I had to make some tough sacrifices, but I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything.
Now, Zach, I'm a 20-year Navy vet myself, and most of my time was with the Marine Corps, either on landing craft utilities or I also went through the up in Pax River, Maryland, the Marine Corps Codel training. Are you on ships right now, or are you on land?
I'm on land right now. I'm actually.
Okay.
I happen to be one of the blessed ones, and I'm home with my family for the holidays this year. Granted, I haven't been, this is the very first year in a very long time that I've been home with my wife for the holidays, but I'll take it when I get it.
Yeah, no, and I know that feeling, and like I said, my hats are off, not only just to you, but to your family. And Tom and I talked about that on Veterans Day, actually, on our show. You know, the wives have it probably as hard, if not harder, I think, sometimes than we do. You know, it's a different stress. I won't say it's any harder, but it's a different type of stress that they face. But I definitely don't think, I think a lot of people take it for granted that, you know, us in the military are out there and we're giving everything we have, which we are, but they forget that, you know, back home you've got a husband or wife based on who's in. With
right.
Children, doing everything. So yeah, when you see your wife, let her know I said thank you for me also.
Oh, definitely. And you couldn't say that more any better than that. I honestly think that my wife has a harder time dealing with the Marine Corps than I do. Just mainly because I'll come home from work and I can already tell that she's upset about. She already knows that I'm going to have to tell her, hey, I got to leave, or I got to go do this, or I'm not going to be here for our anniversary, or. You know, hey, we can't have dinner tonight because I got to go back to work. So I definitely understand that she has definitely a more of a stress level than I do.
Right. And, you know, like we get to go play. When we get to work, we get to play with our boys for a certain, you know, time. You know, and you're right with the sports. I can remember being deployed you know, catching up two, three weeks ago news. And I've already got it by email from my family or friends the day it happened, and finally the Navy prints out a news report that's 3 weeks old and telling us this breaking news that everybody's already gotten via email or now during some of the deployments. I know when I was over deployed to Iraq, we actually could do video calls every once in a while. Have you been able to do that?
No, I didn't have that luxury, so to say, if that's what you want to call it. When I was there, there was absolutely complete nothing. I was in country about 2.5 months before I could make a first phone call or got a first letter. So it was definitely a hit and miss for me. There was no video chat. It is now. My unit that just left, they're over there, and it's like can't cut cake right now where they're going. But they're going to be there for a little while, and then they'll push out to where they'll have nothing. But it's good for them that the first, you know, 3-4 weeks that they're there, they're allowed to, you know, have communication with their family and put their family at ease a little bit. So that's good for them.
And Zach, moving on over here to the sports thing, the ultimate military football game today. Now I understand that it's going to be broadcast via satellite to the troops in both Iraq and Kuwait. And I said Iraq and Afghanistan. And I apologize, I still haven't got my coffee up yet around this morning, but. And is the ultimate sports game, and probably you've heard some talk about it, is the Army-Navy game today at the March On is 11:30, kickoffs at 2:40 on CBS. What are the thoughts and the troops, and how are they thinking about this Army-Navy game coming up?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because last week we were all kind of talking about it and, you know, trying to talk a little smack on who's going to win or this and that. So, I'm not a gambling man, but if I would, I'm going to put my money on the Navy, just simply for the fact that they want it better than the Army does. They want this win versus more so than the Army does. You can tell. I was watching some highlights online. You can tell that when they interview Navy versus Army, that the Navy players, that they want this. The Navy members, they want this, and the Army, I'm kind of getting the impression that they're just doing it because they have to.
Right, and I just think that it's just a great military rivalry game. It's a lot of fun, and it just shows a lot of pride in our nation. It's a good day to have you on the show and to talk about the military and to talk about the pride that the military has. It's 5 hours, 52 minutes, and 32 seconds to kick off. And just because of my prior experience with the Army, I'm going to go Army. And Army's been playing some good football. They've been beating some good teams. I think that my prediction on that would be Army. It's going to be a great game, Army-Navy. They're in actually where the Eagles play there, Kevin.
Well, you know, it is the Army-Navy. And I can remember going and watching it at the Vet Stadium when Vet Stadium was still around. But, you know, obviously I'm going Navy. With being Navy, I got to pull for them no matter what. But if you want to see a sight, and I don't know, Zach, if you've ever watched the game and as far as the March On, but man, if you have any pride in you whatsoever, you can't help
definitely a beautiful time. Definitely a beautiful time. I definitely recommend it to anybody that isn't quite sure what the military does or what it stands for. To watch it, definitely. I'll be watching it. I'll be hitting the highlights. I've got a few friends over today, and we're all gonna have our little rival going on. but it's funny. You never see the Marine Corps in it, because I don't think we play too well with others, to be honest with you.
Well,
so.
No, and I
they don't play well with others. You don't. We'll give you that, Zach.
But you do got it. For those that don't know, and I think most well. Zach, I would hope most Americans know this, but I unfortunately sometimes I wonder. The Naval Academy in Annapolis, if you watch that football screen and they're talking about the players, look and see which ones are going in the Marine Corps, which ones are staying Navy. I don't think I think people aren't paying as much attention anymore, and I don't know how many people realize that academy is both the Marine Corps and the Navy as far as officers go. There are some future Marines playing there. They just haven't been through the Marine Corps boot camp and all that to learn that they shouldn't play well with others. Right now they think they should. But when they go through Marine Corps boot camp, they'll learn that you're not supposed to play well with others.
And Zach, again, I want to take this time and course, thank you for the service that you have. And I know that that the Marines are both land, sea, and air. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess Marine Corps get to choose either Army or Navy. But even though they are paid by the Department of Navy, I hear. So.
Oh, that's fighting terms right there, Tom. Yeah,
right. And with that being said, if you talk to any Marine about how they won this game to go, unless they're just trying to pick an argument, they're going to go for the Navy, just simply for the fact that we work with the Navy 24/7. Navy's our docs, our Navy's our engineers sometimes when we're deployed. So we kind of have to, we don't want to burn bridges here, so to say.
That's right, because we feed you sometimes, too.
That's right. Well, Zach, go ahead, Zach.
No, I just wanted to make a quick note that to everyone that's listening, hey, it's the holidays. It's Christmas is just right around the corner, and the new year is about ready to start. Whether you know a service member or not, if you see someone that you think may be, tell them thank you, because I bet you anything that's going to be worth more to them than a present or anything. Just say a little prayer for the guys that are deployed right now. You're with your families because they're not. So don't go to this into this holiday season and watching these sports games all hot-headed and conceited. Remember, someone had to do something for you to be able to do that. Don't forget who gave a little and gave all for you to be home for your family this holiday.
I very well said, Zach. Very, very well said. And I'm looking forward to meeting my brand new granddaughter. She's due on St. Patrick's Day. Isn't that correct, Zach?
Yeah, St. Patty's Day. She's going to be a little St. Patty's baby.
That's right. So I'm looking forward to that. And, she's, like you've already said, she's going to come out being a Colts fan. And I'm already going to get her a Cardinal onesie, that's for sure. I'm buying onesie.
Yeah, don't send no Cubs over here. You can send that to the same needy family as the Eagles.
That's right. And Zach, we do appreciate you being on today. You can come on this show anytime that you want and tell all your friends, including yourself. You can download right after the show is over, sometime after 10 o'clock Eastern on iTunes. You can download the entire podcast on Eastern. And, Zach, I've got my headphones on right now due to the logistics issues, and I just want everybody to know on our Ustream thing that we are talking to my son, Zach, who's in the Marines. I'm sorry, he's not deployed, but a lot of members of his unit are deployed. And, Zach, you just recently, you started a new duty station, and there again in North Carolina, from not too far from where you're at there. And so tell us a little bit about that, and that kind of worked out good in your favor. The Marines kind of shined nicely on you in that whole particular deal, didn't it?
Yes, definitely. My wife and I are definitely blessed. I was supposed to deploy last Tuesday. And I got orders at the last minute to go to Cherry Point here in North Carolina. That opened up a lot of doors, opened up me being able to be home for the birth of my daughter, able to spend the holidays with my wife. And it's great because we didn't have to move states. We can still keep the house that my wife and I love and we've been blessed with. The difference that I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be working on an aviation base. I'm going to be working with pilots, anything that has to do with the jets of the plane. I'll be transporting from A and B, fuel, parts, crew. Instead of doing grunts on the ground side, I'll be doing aviation in Cherry Point. So it's more of a relaxed situation. It's more, if this is kind of an oxymoron, really, but it's more family oriented in the Marine Corps. I know the Marine Corps really isn't family oriented, but.
No.
Versus aviation to ground, it's a little bit better. So, but yeah, we're very excited about it, very pumped up. I checked in there in March. It's gonna be a great time. It's gonna be a new experience. I've never did 4 years in aviation, so this is gonna be a new time for myself and my wife as well. She goes through everything that I go through, so I can't take any credit without giving her credit due as well. So.
Right.
So yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it.
Are you still with us, Zach?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, we want to, again, tell you thank you for coming on the show. And real quickly, before we let you go here, am I to assume that your official pick for the Army-Navy game is Navy?
Go ahead and
change your mind now if you want.
Why does anyone change his mind?
Pick a winner.
I'm not going to change my mind. No. I'm back out. But I will expect your tissues to be sitting in the mail to you for going to the Army.
Hey, we do need to get a friendly bet going. We'll do that on the side off the air. We'll figure out what that bet is. Really, real quickly, Zach, did you get a chance to watch the Colts game on Thursday?
I did. My wife and I, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings. We had our face paint on. We had our jerseys on. We had our headbands on. We went to B-Dubs, and we said, we want a seat to where we can watch this game. We sat there and watched the whole game, and her and I were definitely the loudest people in there. Our baby was in the womb kicking, getting all excited. Peyton Manning's on his game. So it was a good time.
What about, did you see the biggest defensive play of the whole game, Blair White, not intercepting. Now, that would have been a talk.
That would have been a talk.
It would have still been a touchdown had Blair White caught it, but I was kind of scared there
when he kind of cut off Wayne on that catch. I was afraid that Wayne was going to send him to go meet the big man right there, but he didn't. So that's good. It's good.
Yeah, I noticed that Blair White spent some time over on the cooler there, cooling off.
Yeah,
he had to cool off a little bit. So
in the Marine Corps, I take getting yelled at 24/7, but I don't think that's the person I want to get being yelled at is Peyton Manning. He kind of scares me a little bit when he's mad. So I would not want to be in his shoes sitting on that cooler right now.
No, I hear you. And Zach, we're gonna let you go here real quick. But as we let you go out, I'm just wondering, does this sound familiar to you?
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I was going to say, I don't know what he's trying to do, give you nightmares or what. That ain't even right.
I definitely remember that. I mean, thanks. I would try to forget that one, but it's good. It's good. I'll forgive you.
It's been 3 years since I've been in, and that kind of, and, well, 23 years since I went to boot camp in 87, and that kind of got me a little nervous.
All right, guys. Yeah. We're gonna let you go. We're going to go into a commercial break. And, again, Army-Navy game today. Zach, we appreciate you jumping on board. And again, we appreciate your service to our country.
I appreciate you guys. You're Rob from Dallas.
All right.
1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
To say that you behave childishly is an insult to children everywhere.
You talk about me. I'm talking about that.
And welcome back to The Balance, guys. We are live right here on YouTube Eastern. I need a big key card.
For those of you that didn't catch us last week, I still got to congratulate Tom, though. He did say Ustream. It's better than Univision. last week we were on Univision all the time, and I don't speak Univision language. I have enough trouble with English language. I know I'm not going on Univision.
Well, and so we're on Ustream.
Ustream, there you go.
And you certainly can download the show right now. You're on iTunes. You can put it on your podcast and listen to it any time of the day. The best of all is all they've got to do is just download and it's free. At any time, just chat in the last on station in Campbellsview, North Carolina with Marines and talking a little on the Navy game, a little friendly rivalry that goes on every year. And it's just the greatest thing about our nation, one of the great things about our nation is our thousands of troops we have, all of them.
Yep.
Every bit of them are volunteer.
I could have slid some extra stuff to you. I could have got you some brownie points, man.
We ate it. I don't remember what it's called. It's a little buffet thing.
See, now, J-Man, another fellow chef of mine works up there. We could have given you the royal treatment, acted like you were like God up there, and you could have been the man.
I'm going to remember that because January 28th, I'm going to...
That's why you said this. Yeah, you told me December.
January.
Okay.
Me and my brother are going to go down to Marsh and Bubba and take it down. Yeah, well, that should be a good time. So I'm going to get the extra hook up.
Well, hook you up.
Give me an extra hand.
It was all you could say. Josh,
real quick.
Again,
and, well, but what I'm going to do is bring down. Really proud of them. They're starting to come back and get the mojo back. On the back, I think they continue to win, stay out of jail. I think that we will have it. Get a lot of that back in Cisco and see our racers up on a good track.
It's a different mindset for the team. The players are different. Roy Hibbert, as Tom mentioned earlier in the show, went to a little party with a couple players last night. Roy Hibbert was one of them. And, one of the rookies. And it's a different mindset. And you're right. They now are winning the other ones. Where last year, I think they kind of gave up. They rolled over and died a little bit last year when it came down to those ugly games. And this year they're not. They're scrapping and winning.
I think because this game is great, my disagrees. They become no longer the leader of the Pacers. I think they follow Roy Hibbert and Josh Robertson's lead.
Oh, I agree. 100%. And I think they should. On and off the court. I'm impressed with, personally, with Roy Hibbert. So I think he's a great leader for them, and I think I don't see them going all the way this year, but I do see them making which working down with the Pacers, I get to see a little bit more of the fan turnaround than the people just going to the games. And I'll tell you, that season, this season, we are having a lot more people show up. Number one, Indianapolis, we get tired of having to check out the local jail. See who was going to make it, or not going to make it to the game that night. This year, they're not having those issues. They're playing basketball. That's all they do this year.
I contribute the turnaround to three things. One, they got rid of all the boneheads off the team.
Two, they got Darren Collins. And three,
Granger kind of said that he's a great player, but I think he realized he's not a great leader. Some players aren't.
Right. He's a great player, and we need him. But you're right. He doesn't have the leadership that the Pacers need to make it to the playoffs. I'd be the one getting strong.
I'd like to give a couple of shout outs like my team.
Oh, absolutely.
For all of you who've been in the new women's volleyball team, it's going to be a leader to the volleyball tournament. We're going to the airport. I got to meet all the girls on my team the other day, the coaches, and everybody. They're the nicest group of athletes I've ever met. For those of you who have yet to join me, I encourage you to tune in tonight at 9 o'clock because they play in the Elite Eight trying to get to the final four of the volleyball tournament.
Well, they're on a 7-game win streak. I didn't get to see the play. I was a little occupied when the play happened. I was a little bit more concerned with my date in the basketball game at that particular time. But I don't know what happened to Waves this Friday night.
This is where we win TMI.
I don't know. I'm not even going there. You're the one going there. You're the one going there. I don't know if it came back in, and I'm trying to look up right now to see what anything on it, and there's nothing on it. So I don't know if it looked like he got something in the head. When he's going up to defend the shot. But he's laying there for a little bit, so if that's all that happens, pretty good elbow.
We should also give a shout out to the New York Knicks and John DeWall and put him back clean up.
Yeah, and they needed it. I'm waiting for somebody to go to Philadelphia and turn the Sixers around because it's been a long, depressing time for the Sixers fans. But I'm still a fan.
It could be worse.
Or not practice, you know, because you don't know what he's going to do. Whether he's going to show up and practice or he's not going to be there. It depends on what mood he wakes up in.
Did he got benched in Turkey for not going to practice?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those. And that's where Tom and I do a show on Sundays called Indiana Close Up. And that's one of the things we talk about is your local force. And I love professional. But if I had any heart for it with professional sports, it's the fact of things like that. Randy Moss not stretching his arm fully out, giving up on passes. I mean, things like that just really
watch. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's good. You know, I see players like that come out. But, you know, like you said with Irish, that's why I love local sports so much. Of course, Josh, you know that, but, you know, ice cream. We got to figure out where they're home again.
I think they're home tonight.
So we'll but, you know, and that's one reason I like your local sports. They give everything they could possibly give. They don't, because, you know what, they're trying to get that big contract, so they have to give everything. That's part of what I appreciate of the local sports, which is why we do Indiana stuff on Sunday.
I agree.
Kevin,
like, are we
supposed to
be able to play five out of the stuff, but they can't be the kids on $5 million a year? But even when the three of us have $5 million, I guarantee we can beat our fame.
Oh, I think I can see $5 million. Yeah, $5 million, and it's amazing when you look at how many players in all the sports. And I think I read a statistic one time. I want to say it was 75 or 80%, which seems like an extremely high amount of people. But that was just what they were saying: go bankrupt, file bankruptcy. Now, how are you making $15 million a year? Or how are you paying the base salary of
$250,000 to $500,000?
I don't know. Here's what I think. I'm all for getting the young players that can play, and I'm all for letting them get paid. But at the same time, I think further contracts, these teams need to step up. And I guarantee you that if the teams united and did this, you know, if they're going to play in the NBA young, a portion of your money goes into a truck until you're a certain age or been in the league.
I think the NBA, if you don't have a college degree, you're not allowed to play in the NBA.
Well, that argument's been going on for a very long time. I certainly understand that argument. I believe that argument. But the problem is that you've got some very good agents who are lawyers. You've got some very good team owners who are rich and troubled, and they see very high temperature in high school level. These high school kids have spent their whole life that they're greater than God. And the thing is, they don't understand the concept of happening with the problem. So there again, whatever decision comes down, it needs to be a united decision between all the owners and all the agents, where the agents are going to say, because the agents get paid off the salary.
Exactly.
And the owners want to win.
So it's hard to say.
I think the NFL rule says you have to be in college for at least 1 year.
You have to be NBA,
and when you're
the NFL, three.
And I've always been a big fan of how baseball is. What baseball does is they might draft a young player right out of high school, but they're going to go to their double-A, single-A, and triple-A teams and work their way up very, 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 very. A baseball player coming out of a high school and going right on. I will check that out. See, that's what I'm saying. It's such a rarity to happen. And I think the reason why we're talking about it is just because it is so powerful.
It is.
So, situations where they that's a dominant situation. And,
that's a big thing going on and on.
And real quickly, while we're still in the segment, Josh, I know that the Bulls and the Knicks are winning, the Spurs are winning. Tell me a little bit about how the pace very good in the postseason. They're in the river.
Yes.
And the Bulls are number one. The Celtics are number one. But the Bulls are a 5% of a few years decade. So the Bulls have positioned themselves to be in a very good position to actually win in the Central Division. It's not about the same division.
The Pacers are second in the division. They're half a game behind the Bulls.
What did I say before?
Yes.
Outside of the Knicks or and we're 4 points behind Texas United. There's a tight race, and in the half game between our opponents, obviously, like, two games back, and that's what's tough. No, we still got like a good 6.5, and now there's about 6 weeks of like good hard playoff fixture comes. The Pacers just talked about the Bulls, Miami, and Orlando.
Would Western Conference be the Utah Jazz,
I can see him doing it. He is a spotlight coach. He likes to be in the spotlight. And really, what better spotlight can you be in this coach right now? I don't really think that's the change that he has in Miami, a coach. But again, you know my feelings on you have three players of that caliber. If they're not winning, the reality is, that's a coach's fault. I mean, I know he's there, and I know he's vital. But if you're as good as you say you are, which those three claim to be the gods of basketball on the same team, you shouldn't need a coach.
Agree. And
how
did you they're trying to get a point guard they want.
Miami's starting to remind me of the Yankees in baseball.
My Red Sox the last week, you won't stop spending money.
But we'll get into baseball here in just a segment. We definitely going to have time. Of course, everybody knows Derek Jeter got paid, so we'll get into that on coming up here in just a few short minutes.
Get into the baseball segment. I know that here soon we're going to try to have
Ed Coleman
on the defending Super Bowl champion. I just got a text from him saying that he just woke up. So hopefully we'll get him on the show here very, very soon here. And Josh, we may lose you here.
We can go into to Ed. Is this Ed? Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Ed. What's up, Ed? Hey, Ed, did you...
Not much. Just thought I'd call in to you two losers.
Losers. Okay, look.
Well, Kevin, yes, and Tom, yeah, this week you will be.
You know, Tom likes to talk trash, Ed. You know that. And you know what? We forgive him.
Oh, I know.
Well, here's the thing, Ed, and for those of us for our listeners, Ed Coleman has just called in. He is the defending reigning balance Super Bowl champion from last year. Speaking of rivalries, Ed and I have had a rivalry going on here in fantasy football for a good number of years. How long have we been playing fantasy football together, Ed?
What? 5-6 years?
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
Ed always finds a way to scrap from the bottom. And Ed is the master trader. I'll give him that. He breaks down the trades and is always pulling up a trade from somewhere. Ed Coleman is also a city coming councilman here in Indianapolis, and we're talking a little bit about sports. And from the political aspect of things, Kevin, really kind of give us a feedback about the Super Bowl and the city getting ready for the Super Bowl. And are we ready for it? What are your thoughts from the aspect of city county councilman being ready for the Super Bowl here in Indianapolis?
He meant Ed. I know he said Kevin, but he meant Ed.
I meant Ed. I'm sorry.
I must still be asleep too. Ed, from the position of a city county councilman and city getting ready for Super Bowl, kind of give us a little bit of a behind the scenes look at what goes on there.
You know, that has its own committee, you know, so I have, I'm kind of a stay out of because we don't even get a heads up on, we did our part by, we took votes that says we're committed to allowing the police to be used for the Super Bowl. We took votes basically stepped us out of the way, so the Super Bowl committee's taking control of that, and actually I don't know anything beyond that.
Okay. Well, so who's going to win the Super Bowl and the balance Super Bowl? Do you know anything about that game? I'm going with Ed Coleman on that one.
Considering the fact that I'm projected to win and you barely beat me with luck the one time we played this season, I'd say I'm due.
He barely beat me with luck. I tell you what, the last time Kevin and I played, that was the one week that I forgot to play Michael Vick, and I know that you made sure that I knew that I forgot to play Michael Vick. What a bonehead mistake that was. Speaking of bonehead mistakes,
yeah,
I've been asking.
He scored 56 points that week.
I've been asking everybody I talked to today, what are your thoughts on the game on Thursday, but most importantly, the touchdown that didn't happen that should have happened with Blair White. Did you see that play, Kevin?
Go ahead, Ed. He meant you.
Ed, I meant you.
I'm gonna change my name. Yeah, I saw it. The guy's a rookie. The guy made a mistake. What can you say?
We've been saying a lot all day long. Obviously, no. We said this earlier. He's kind of stepped into the role and really has filled the gap a lot. So we won't dog on him too hard. But you're right. He did make a rookie mistake, and we saw that. Peyton Manning was giving him a little bit of an earful, and
know what? After 11 interceptions in 3 games, Peyton Manning doesn't have the right to give anybody an earful right now.
I can't argue that one, Ed.
Hey, and Ed, while I got you on the phone here, I know that you and Kevin, I got it right now. You and Kevin both are big NASCAR fans. I like NASCAR, but you guys actually follow it quite extensively throughout the year, and I guess Kevin, I know that you follow it as well. So I guess Ed, I want to know what your thoughts on Jimmy Johnson winning yet another championship, and your thoughts on NASCAR on where it's headed into the future, and just kind of give your thoughts as a NASCAR fan.
Well. You want my thoughts on NASCAR? You know, I actually boycotted NASCAR, didn't watch a single race this year because I'm pretty upset that a team like Hendrick was able to put together a car that allowed Jimmy Johnson to win 5 championships in a row. And if you look at it, if they wouldn't have, they would have just left the point system alone, Jimmy Johnson wouldn't have had 5 wins. So, you know, I think NASCAR's been a lot to make a lot of mistakes and mess these things up. They're doing a pretty good job of pushing me away as a fan.
Well, and that's the problem, Ed, with Johnson winning 5 in a row. A lot of people are being pushed away. Now, I know they are talking about changing the point system. I don't know if you've heard, but they're talking about the top 12 in the chase, no matter where they finish, getting points for the top 12 positions. So, in other words, if you're a chase driver, you finish 33rd, and you're you finish last out of the 12 chase drivers, you're going to get points like you finished 12th place in the race. So basically, it's going to be 2 races within one. You've got your 12 in the chase racing each other, and then the other cars racing for the other points. I don't know if that's going to help. I don't know if it's going to hurt. The one thing I will say this year compared to last year for Jimmy Johnson, and I'm a Hendrick Motorsports fan, for those that are watching on Ustream or have seen us up in Air Bread, I am wearing the old school Tony Stewart Home Depot shirt.
To eat my bagel.
yeah, and those on Ustream are watching Tommy eat a bagel. I'm sure that's his body that's already not built for radio or television, I should say. I'm sure they're enjoying that. But with being a Hendrix Motorsports fan, you got to give Johnson credit. This is the first year where he actually had to fight back to win the championship. And as well as Hendrix made some smart moves. They realized that Gordon was in the chase but didn't have a chance to win. And I am a Jeff Gordon fan. And I know, yeah, I did say that publicly. And, you know, hey, don't. There's a lot of Gordon haters. But, you know.
Smart me down as one.
See, I know, that's why I
said it.
Oh, great, I'm losing. But he, they switched pit crews halfway through a race, actually in Texas. Instead of losing pit stops, Johnson actually started gaining pit stops. So you got to give Hendrix Motorsports credit. You know, they're building great race cars. Let me look at Tony Stewart. He drives basically a Hendrix Motorsports car.
So Earnhardt
Ganassi gets engines from Hendrix Motorsports. So a lot of your teams, if you look at the drivers in the chase that would do really well, they either are directly Hendrix Motorsports drivers or at least have the engines and chassis from Hendrix Motorsports. So you got to give, I don't know what they're doing there. Now, this year they are swapping pit crews, and I don't know if you're aware of this, Ed, or not, but, well, garages, I should say. The number 48 is going to be with Junior, and the number 5 is going to be over with Gordon, which this year will be Mark Martin. Next year will be Casey Kane.
The only person not switching crew chief is they're not putting Jimmy Johnson and Chad announced up, obviously, but everybody else is switching.
Right, the switching garages and everything. And I'll tell you right now, that would be one of the dumbest moves in sports history, in all sports, if they split Chad Knauss and Jimmy Johnson up. I mean, that would be, they would have to be one of the biggest bonehead moves.
Agree. But speaking of the Yankees, Hendrix Motorsports basically became the Yankees in NASCAR.
Ed, do you agree?
Splitting up Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knauss? I wouldn't say it'd be too bright. But then again, I said the same thing with when, Jeff Gordon's former crew chief was moved
Ray
on and started his own team. Yeah, Ray Evraham, you know, when he started his own team. And,
Ray Evraham.
Oh,
I agree.
I know it was, but, you know, I thought that was like, wow, that's going to mess up a lot of things. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, he hasn't won a championship
now, since. Next year's chase, I think, is going to be, I look for Harvick to be back strong. I look for Denny Hamlin to be back strong.
I look for Kyle Busch to come back with the...
You know, let's not talk about the Bush brothers.
Hey, don't be bashing on the Bush boys. I'm a Kyle Busch fan.
Oh, you know what, Ed? I used to like you. If there's two,
well, you know,
if
I was thinking the same thing until you said Jeff Gordon.
If there's two drivers in NASCAR that I cannot stand with a passion, are the two brothers, Kyle and Kurt. I cannot. I don't know what it is about those two. Well, I know why I don't like Kurt. Him and Gordon have had a lot of run-ins on the racetrack. So that's one reason I don't like Kurt. Kyle, to me, I don't know, man. He cries a lot and is just...
I just wonder, how bad did it hurt Denny Hamlin? Talking about Hamlin. Hamlin? Hamlin?
Denny Hamlin. Hamlin.
English language.
Yeah, English language, you, Tom, are not good.
But you know what? I think that Denny had a legitimate shot of winning the championship this year. And I have to admit, I do agree with a lot of what Kevin says. I think that Jimmy Johnson car is on steroids. I think that he needs to be tested. I think that, I don't know if I go as far as to boycott the whole fan base, but... Kevin, what are your thoughts? I mean, Ed, what are your thoughts on Denny and his almost there, but not good enough situation?
You know, just because I boycotted, didn't watch a single race, doesn't mean I didn't pay attention. You know, I'm a diehard NASCAR fan. You know, even when I boycott, I got to know who's where. And I'll tell you what, I was sitting there every week pulling up NASCAR online, and I was praying Denny Hamlin would pull it out. Of course, he didn't. Disappointed, but I was just hoping that one time Jimmy Johnson was not winning, because I agree, he's got a car on steroids. I think you're cheating.
Well, go ahead, too. You know, I agree, Tom. And like I said, I'm a Hendrick Motorsports fan.
Did you call it, Tom?
Yeah, I did. See, you're rubbing off me. But I would have liked to see Hamlin or Harvick win. I got to meet Kevin Harvick and his wife, and great guy to talk to off the track. He found out I was military. I was at a fan club meeting of his with my ex-wife. She was his fan. She was a fan of him. I went. And next I know the cop was tapping me on my shoulder, asking if I was the military guy, and didn't know what the heck was going on. So I was smart and answered the cop yes.
Speaking of military, Ed, we had my son on just a little while ago talking about the Army and Navy game, and you're both you were both in the Army and both in the Navy. So I guess you're kind of in the middle there. So what are your thoughts on the Army-Navy game? Are you going to be able to catch the march on 11:30 today and kick off to 2:40? What are your thoughts on the Army-Navy game today?
Oh, man, don't even start. It's like a that is almost like a Sunday, you know, a church Sunday or a Christmas day or whatever in my house, you know. You know, we go all out for the Army-Navy game, and just because I was in the Army and the Navy, you know, I'll support Army up until the time they play Navy, because Navy's my team right there. I've always been a big Navy football fan.
You know, Tom, see, there you go again. Dang, Tom, you're rubbing off on me.
So Kevin and Ed both are discharged seamen.
No, I was there.
Discharged seamen?
Hey, well, you know.
Hey. You know, I was aviation when I first joined, so I can never be called that. You know, and then I switched to military police after that. So, yeah, no. But, no, this is one of those games.
You were an airman.
Yeah, when I first
joined. You weren't a seaman. You were an airman.
That's correct.
Hey, real quick,
now,
guys.
Me, on the other hand, I was a seaman. you got to give me some credit, though, Kevin. I was in a helicopter squadron, so I was with a bunch of Airedales all the time.
All right, we'll give you those props. No, go ahead, Tom.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like I told my son, that I am obviously going to root for Army. I think Army's got a lot to play for. Army's been beating some good teams. Army's been playing some good games. But I am going to tell you, you're right. They're playing in Philadelphia Stadium. And you know, that's right there in Navy. It's a home game, if you will, for the Navy. But it always is an exciting time and a prideful time to watch the Army-Navy game, to watch the march on at 11:30 today. And I'm going to go Army on this particular game. So we'll make our pick on that. Real quickly, Ed, while I have you on the phone here, what I want to do is just break down the rest of the season. Where do you think the Colts are going to end up at? What are your thoughts on the Jacksonville game coming up? And where has the Colts gone wrong this year?
Oh, man, if you want my input, I think as far as the rest of the season goes, you know, I think the numbers say we have to win out to even have a shot at the wild card. And, you know, if we play like we did the past four or five games or whatever, you know, I don't see us winning out. You know, I think we're going to need luck to get there, and I just don't think we have a team this year to, you know, do much in the playoffs, so I'm not seeing much of the Colts in the playoffs. I'm not saying why I'm going to let them, you know, at this point, I just don't see the Colts finishing it out. So, you know, the Colts have just been two injuries, you know, stricken all season long to have a chance to, I mean, it's a shame, right? You know, it's like we got hit by the Super Bowl curve.
Well, and I agree with you, Ed, on that. You know, I am first and foremost a Philadelphia fan because that's where I'm from. But, you know, as a living in Indianapolis now, as an inbred in Indiana.
We always knew you were an inbred.
Yeah, you can tell. you know, obviously I pull for the Colts. And numbers say they have to win out. And I just don't it's not – the news the other day was talking about all Manning and where he goes, the team goes. And I agree 100% with that. But at the same token – you've got to look at Peyton is pushing as hard as he is. And again, this is just my opinion, which sometimes is wrong. Not often, but sometimes. He's pushing as hard as he is because he doesn't have a choice. There is absolutely no defense stopping the other team from scoring. So unless Peyton Manning throws for four or five touchdowns, they can't win.
No, I agree absolutely. Kevin, I mean, Ed, I don't know what is wrong with me today. I got names all mixed up. Ed, we appreciate you joining us. I'll see you on the playing field tomorrow. We got a half an hour left here. You're more than welcome to stay with us, but we got to go to a break. And so, can you stay with us a little bit, or are you wanting you need to go, Ed?
I'll stick around a little bit longer. Why not?
Okay. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and jump into a commercial break, and we'll be right back on the other side of it, and we're going to just talk NFL for the next 30 minutes. I know that we've got a lot of stuff going on and stuff, so we'll be right back.
My master made me this collar so that I may talk, squirrel.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
And welcome back to the balance. My name is Tom. We're right on Kevin and Josh Elmore and Ed Coleman is on the air with us here. Ed, are you there?
Oh no, I'm still here. Just making this for my 7-year-old.
That's where I came from. Okay. I wonder what that was. Ed, if you need to be disconnected so you don't implicate yourself in any type of child abuse, you know, let us
I was never
we're going to be talking
in
NFL.
Yeah, just my kicking in the butt a few times.
Josh, I know we've got you on the line here. Josh, are you
right here with
me?
I'm here.
I know we got a lot of football to break down. We've kind of been talking Colts. Of course, they're right here in our backyard, right here in Indianapolis. By the way, we're live right here at Panera Bread at the corner of Raceway and Rockville Road. We're streaming live on Ustream. And, of course, our flagship video, and this is our flagship show. Every Sunday afternoon, also, we have ICU and a close-up, and it's 15 wrap up every day. Now, I know we talked earlier about the NBA and some of the criminal activities that are going on in the NBA. And I know just your news, we've got some other stuff over the guy that was arrested for a sexual assault and a Patriot thing. So, Kevin, I know you've got the Broncos thing. And Ed, feel free to jump in at any time on any subject here. We'll just keep you on here. For the remainder of the show, stay with us, and your input is whatever you want to input on each of these stories that we're going to talk about. Right now, we're going to talk about Broncos rookie quarterback Cox, arrested on a.
Hey, Tom, your English language. We get. Instead of going to the eye doctor, we're going to send you a speech pathologist. Like Tom was trying to say, the rookie cornerback, not quarterback, was arrested in a sexual assault case. But looking at it, looks at he was taken into custody here with the last few days. The assault actually happened October 28th. So it looks like this past Friday, Cox was appeared in Douglas County Court. By Castle, was wearing a great where his feet were shackled, and he was escorted by an armed sheriff's deputy. The judge declined a defense attorney's request to reduce a $50,000 bond. Now,
but he's allowed to leave the state.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm looking at. Number one, $50,000 fine. He pays $5,000, he's out. Okay. I think he's made $5,000 this year by the Broncos. Why they even asked him to do this, I don't know. He's allowed to leave the state two times, which he did appear in the Cardinals game this week, and it looks like he will be playing on the 19th with against the Raiders.
That's where I have a big problem.
He's being allowed to play him. To warrant an arrest. And I'm a bond hearing. So in my opinion,
he doesn't need to be playing.
Do what? I'm sorry. You sound like you're in a tunnel.
Let me try.
Ed, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, for a moment. Let's hear the question again.
Okay, we were talking about the Denver Broncos cornerback getting arrested on the sexual assault case, and the judge had a bond hearing on the case, and the defense attorney wanted to have the $50,000 bond reduced. I guess he's out of jail now, Kevin, and now it appears that he's going to be playing in the open game. And I said it's one thing for McAfee to be suspended for one game and to be playing, but this is a very serious case. There's enough evidence to warrant an arrest and obviously a bond hearing on this. What are your thoughts on him being able to return to the field and play? I think that this is something that shouldn't be going on, and I was asking you what is your opinion on that?
Well, you know, Tom, I agree. And, well, you know, I thought you said Kevin. I'm so sorry. I'm, you confuse
Kevin,
me now.
It doesn't matter.
You confuse
don't want
me
to,
now.
Like, Kevin, give your thoughts, and then Ed, give your thoughts.
I had a hard burn to a certain point of, you know, I don't mind the guy getting bond. You know, that's one thing. But I do have a heartburn with him being able to leave the state to play football. You know, think about it. If he was not a professional athlete, and he got arrested in Marion County, and he worked for a local company, got arrested for a sexual assault case, and he went in front of the judge and said, "Your Honor, I need to be able to leave town for work." It wouldn't happen.
They'd laugh at him.
Yeah, they would. The judge would laugh at him. So I have a heartburn with the fact that not so much he's out on bond. That doesn't bother me. But the fact of that he's allowed to leave the state to play football with a sexual assault case is what bothers me.
I think this is just another bad example of what happened to the Denver Broncos. They used to be one of the cleanest, proudest franchises in the NFL. But it's a joke that he gets to leave Denver to go play in Oakland.
I agree. Ed, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's I'm no lawyer, so I wouldn't start arguing that for him. But I think my question would be, the guy's out on bond. You know, I've never been arrested in my life, so I don't totally understand a bond. But, you know, my understanding is a bond is basically putting money down and saying that I'm going to show up for court, I'm not going to flee, you know. And if the guy's coming back, you know, does that really... prevent him from leaving the state if he's still coming back after every game and he's showing up to court?
Well, and I agree, and that's what the bond is. All the bond is you giving good faith to the court system that you'll show up for court. And, you know, they're making a big thing that he agreed not to fight extradition if he gets arrested out of the state. Like, come on, the guy's coming to court for sexual assault, and he's so kind to agree that he won't fight coming back if he gets arrested somewhere else. I mean, where's the guy's mindset at? No, that's part of what his agreement was, that he won't fight extradition. And I'm like, you know what? And that's what kills me about this whole situation. Again, it's not. If the shoes are on the average foot and not a professional athlete, the things that he is allowed to do, we as Plain Jane, Plain Joe would not be able to leave the state.
I'm Joe, you're Jane.
Well, I'm not Jane either, but we do have female listeners, so that's why. I said that. You know, we wouldn't be able to leave the state for work, and that's what
that's the situation that bothers me. But I also know that, as Tom said earlier, the Pats are having a little bit of issue. I guess Spikes ran into some problems, and you know a little bit more about than I do, Jeff.
Actually, if it's okay with Tom, I have three NFL stories I'd like to break.
Sure.
Right ahead.
Well, first of all, Brandon Spikes is the Patriots' second-leading tackler and a standout linebacker from the University of Florida, has been suspended for the last four games for violating an NFL substance abuse policy. For those of you who aren't familiar, you do not get suspended your first time, which means this is at least the second time in 12 games as a professional he's been in trouble for breaking the substance abuse policy. He passed with the rest of the regular season, when he's allowed to return to the playoffs. I think you should have to sit that out, too. If it's the second time in your first 12 games as a professional, do you have any character?
I agree. I don't think, if they're going to suspend him, which I agree 100% with the suspension, rules are rules. Ed and I both know when you're active duty to note zero tolerance. You know, so I don't have an issue with the zero tolerance policy in professional sports either. But if they're going to suspend him, and like you said, it doesn't happen the first time for four games, I don't think he should be able to come back for the playoffs. Ed, do you think he should be coming back for the playoffs, or do you think with the suspension, it should be for the playoffs and the regular season?
You know, I'm a libertarian, so I don't have a problem with substance abuse by anybody.
But the policy states, you know.
I know what you're saying. And yeah, if you're going to suspend the guy for a season, you know, it means the season, playoffs are still part of the same season.
Right, and that's the thing for me. And I know what the NFL is looking at, the playoffs, and okay, they think the Patriots are going to make it, which unfortunately probably will. Unfortunately, Tom Brady right now is looking as one of the front runners for MVP. So I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make the playoffs as good as they possibly can. But if you've done something stupid enough to be suspended for the last four games of the season, I agree with you, Ed. That is part of the season. You're suspended for the playoffs as well.
Right.
Well,
and
you know, what was up with, remember back in, 2007 when we went to the Super Bowl, what's the guy's name, Tank Johnson? Wasn't he actually convicted on some gun charges or something
yes.
like that? And
Tank was convicted, yes.
Yeah, if they let him go play the Super Bowl, they let him play the playoffs, so.
Right, and I didn't agree with it back then either, when they did that with Tank. There should have been, you get caught with a gun, you get arrested, you get convicted, you don't play. Because otherwise, you know, these guys are getting paid how many millions of dollars, and with that comes responsibility, whether you choose it or not. I hate professional athletes to say, well, I didn't choose to be a role model. Yes, you did. When you signed a contract for $20 million a year,
yes, you did.
You agreed to be a role model. That's just the way it is, and that's life in the professional athletes.
Absolutely, and I think that's why I have such a huge problem with these rule breakers. They're not just situations where they were isolated, okay? And I make reference to McAfee, the punter for the Colts who was swimming in the canal. That was a funny news story. He shouldn't have done it. He got suspended for one game. We move on, okay? That's all it was a public investigation. It was no sexual assault, no matter what they tried to make the story out to be. I get that. But see, the Colts acted promptly. And I guarantee you, if one of these guys had played with the Colts, they wouldn't be with the Colts anymore at all in any type of shit. I'm just using him as an example, just because the Colts really have a lot of integrity behind them. And obviously, you know, they've got Dominic Rhodes back, who has been back and forth.
Right.
In his situation, I believe he got a DUI here.
I believe it was a DUI.
Yeah. And but here's another story with your Eagles there, and I think you guys all know about Trent Cole clobbering Matt Schaub. He got fined $20,000. But see, here's the thing. It's not the first time this has happened with this guy, and it's like it just continues to happen. And when you've got situations like that, why do we continue to let these players play? Josh, I know you've got something to say on that, And Ed, we'll let you give your input on this Eagles Trent Cole situation, and then we'll break down into some of the games that are happening to make our picks. And Ed, we want to make sure that you're around for the picks because we'll see
if he's got it.
Let's see if he has the intestinal gonads to go head to head with.
He might, but I doubt it. But you know, as an Eagles fan, I agree. Trent Cole, you know, I like the player. He's a very aggressive defensive player, but sometimes aggression is just a little bit too aggressive. And he was fined 3 times last year for unnecessary roughness. And he took on Schaub right in the knee area. I think it was uncalled for. And I would not be surprised if the Eagles do something to him as well as the NFL. And I hope they do. There's no reason for that type of hit. And you're right. You can see it. But Josh, what's your opinion on that?
Well, as a former football player, enough with the fine. If you're going to keep fining and saying this is an illegal hit, why don't we put the shirts on and play flag football? Enough of getting fined for things you didn't even get flagged for. And I don't know what the NFL is doing to James Harrison. They're making a public example out of him for some reason.
Well, Harrison, I think, and I looked at it after I thought about this for a second, what your opinion on this. Harrison, when I watched some of the replays of the last game, I mean, I swear, and I don't know if it's just my eyes or what, but I could have sworn that dude, the ref was pulling for that yellow flag before he even actually physically had any physical contact with the quarterback.
You're getting penalized before you can even get off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I agree. Ed, what do you think about that?
What do I think about the penalties, or what do I think about
in general
when you're talking about with Trent Cole?
Well, in general, specifically about Cole, as well as in general, the amount of unnecessary roughness fines. Are the fines really doing any good?
You got a situation where you got a full impact game where people are going to be colliding and bodies are going to be colliding and. You know, things happen, but, you know, they're trying to find a way to make it so football players are able to go home and every day and not the hospital, you know. So, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, I think they're trying. Whether they're trying correctly or not is, you know, probably all philosophical, but, you know, I mean, at least they're trying. So, I mean, I'll give them that.
Well, I'll agree. I mean, they're trying to... they're trying to curtail the injuries, and they're doing it for a good reason, but I just don't know how well the fines just don't look like they're working. And you're right. At the same token, this is a impact sport. Things are going to happen. Body is going to fly. You're going to go for a tackle mid-waist. The guy could slip, and then all of a sudden it's a helmet-to-helmet hit. So many things could happen there to a certain point, the NFL has to understand, and as fans understand, that the players go into this knowing the possibility of these injuries.
Absolutely. So, shifting gears and still talking about injuries, we want to find out who can make the best picks here coming up in week number 14, and Ed, this is your first week to be a part of the expert poll pick, i.e. I'm the expert and the rest of you guys don't know what you're talking about. So if you're along with me, you're good. If you don't, then you just simply need some understanding in the game of football. So,
Ed, are you buying that? Because I'm not.
I'm not buying that.
Considering the fact that his record for the fantasy season was like... what was it there, Tom? 7-4, and mine was 9-2. I'll.
the thing about it is, somehow I managed to pull out enough wins to get into the Super Bowl, and it's you and I, brother. You and I,
yeah.
Man to man,
yep.
Going at it tomorrow. So,
Ed, your picks are there. I'm going to take my headset off so that Josh and I can do the picks together. So just make sure you let me know what Ed's picks are.
I will.
Ed, I can hear you talk, so now would be the time to talk about it. So without further ado, but
we talk about him anyhow. It doesn't matter whether he hears it or not.
Without further ado, here we go, boys and girls. Indianapolis to Tennessee. I'm going to take that one. Indianapolis by two.
Gee, Tom, I'm glad you picked that one.
All right. The Giants at Minnesota. Ed, what is your pick?
Minnesota against who?
Giants.
Giants? Giants.
Josh?
I'm going to pick the Vikings. I don't like my time that I said the Broncos are losing. Josh McDaniels would get fired. And he's the head coach of the Broncos now. Not McDaniels.
I will agree. You did call that. I am going to have to go for the Giants on that. Farr is going to have to hit every pass for them to beat the Giants.
You know, I do agree on that. I think the Giants, that's probably a pretty easy pick, the Giants probably. But here's the thing about Minnesota. I don't know how they've been able to do it, but here they've been able to chain together some wins throughout the season. I'm not making them my pick. Certainly the Giants, I think, will take them. But at the same time, they are playing at Minnesota, and this is probably really close to the end of their season. So there's a lot of variables there to when you have nothing to play for, there can be a lot of damage, especially when you're playing a team that has a lot to play for. So my pick is for the Giants, but don't be surprised if Minnesota is. All right, Cleveland at Buffalo. Ed, what is your pick?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of what Peyton Hillis has been doing, man. I almost give Cleveland a shot.
Hey, Josh.
I'm going to pick Cleveland, and also the third story I wanted to break is going to go along with this. Look for Bill Cowher to be the coach in Buffalo next year.
Well, I'm going to have to agree with Ed. I think Cleveland is going to take this. This game,
Josh, are you on that coaching change prediction? Yeah, for each pick, he's going to pick the new coach for the particular team coming up in the next season. Well, Buffalo and Cleveland, I tell you what, these are two teams that have again been able to put together some wins. Cleveland, I have a good year. I'm not disappointed with Cleveland at all. Especially considering where Cleveland has been. Okay. They're not Super Bowl contenders, I'm not saying that. I think that they have a good opportunity to win this game. However, I am gonna tell you this is at Buffalo. Okay? They're both cold weather teams, but Buffalo really knows how to play in the cold. Buffalo has some good players there that can put it together. Fisher's one of them, and he touches the ball a lot. And so I'm going to go with Buffalo in this one, just because it's at home in Buffalo, and that it's going to be a bad weather day, and I think that Buffalo will be pretty good. So what we got now is Green Bay at Detroit. Ed, what is your pick?
You know, obviously Green Bay is going to win that game, but, you know, I mean, Detroit's been doing a lot better than they have over the past few years, and Green Bay's definitely got the win.
My upset special of the week is Detroit over Green Bay.
Well, and I'm going to agree with Ed. I don't see the defense of Detroit, although they are better. Ed made a very good point. Detroit is an improving team. But I still don't think they're going to be able to stop the offensive Green Bay.
Well, I'm going to team with you on this. Detroit has played some good ball. Guys, look at how they played the Bears. The Bears are probably a Super Bowl team this year.
Yes.
Look at how Detroit played the Bears. Look at how banged up Green Bay has been. Look at the situation that Aaron Rodgers kind of slipped a little bit. And there again, they're at Detroit. Indoors, and Detroit's winning some games. Their fans actually like that. I'm going with Detroit on this pick. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh.
Go ahead, Ed.
You know how you said Detroit was a rebuilding team. I'd say Cincinnati just doesn't have it figured out, and they're a floundering team, so I'm going to say Pittsburgh.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh huge over Cincinnati.
I agree. And Ed made the point that Cincinnati, instead of being like Detroit building, Cincinnati's floundering, which I'm not surprised. Again, just like Tampa Bay, you got two big heads between Ocho and T.O. Palmer, I don't know what his struggles are this year. I don't see, with a boot on or off a pen, I don't see Cincinnati being able to touch Pittsburgh.
I agree. Pittsburgh on that one. Guys, I'm going to zip through these real quickly because we've just got about 4 minutes left in the show. Tampa Bay at Washington. Ed, what is your pick?
You know, I'm not a big fan of either team this year. I don't think either one of them are really showing greatness, but I'm going to go as far as saying that I think Tampa Bay is probably doing a better job of building their team, so I'd say Tampa Bay.
I'm going to pick Tampa Bay.
I'm going to go Tampa. Washington is struggling in so many areas right now.
I like Tampa Bay in this one. The Bucs have a good opportunity to beat a very good team. Although Washington has a potential. Atlanta at Carolina. Ed, what is your pick?
Interesting. I'm Atlanta.
I'm going to go with Atlanta big over Carolina.
I'm going to go with Atlanta as well as Ed and Josh.
This is a key game. This is a big game for both teams. And again, Oakland and Jacksonville. And this has some really big implications. Ed, what is your pick?
You know, I'm hoping Oakland, but, you know, as far as being a Colts fan and needing Jacksonville to lose, but, you know, I think Jacksonville may have it.
I'm going to go with Oakland over Jacksonville.
I have to agree with Ed. It's both teams. Both teams need it, like Tom said, but with it being at home, I'm going to have to go for Jacksonville on this.
Well, call me superstitious, but Jacksonville needs to lose this game for our Colts.
I'll agree.
I'm going to go on the side of superstition. I'm going to go with I'm going to pick Oakland on this game. Seattle at San Francisco. Ed, what is your pick?
You're making me think too much for a Saturday morning. I think San Francisco.
I'm
going
to go to Seattle over San Francisco in Singletary's last game.
I don't know if I'll say Singletary's last game, but I do think Seattle will win.
All right, I'm going to go with Seattle. Real quickly, guys, we've got to go through these, and we're going to run out of time, so just make your pick, and we'll pick up the commentary another time. Ed, Kansas City at San Diego.
San Diego.
Kansas City.
I'm going San Diego.
I like San Diego in this one. Denver at Arizona. Ed, what is your pick?
I'm going to go Denver.
I'm going to go with Denver.
I'll agree with that, Ed, Josh, and Denver.
St. Louis at New Orleans. What is your pick, Ed?
New Orleans.
I'm going to go with St. Louis.
I'll go New Orleans, although I think St. Louis is going to put up a fight.
I agree with you, and I'm going to actually be the lone ranger on this. I think St. Louis is going to win this game. New England at Chicago.
New England.
Go ahead, Ed.
I'm going to pick Chicago.
I'm going to pick Chicago because of their defense and at home.
I like Chicago on this one as well. Miami at the Jets.
I like Miami.
I'm going to go with the Jets.
Well, I'm going to have to go against you, Ed. I know you picked Miami, but I'm going to go with the Jets.
I'm also going to go with the Jets on this one. Philadelphia, Dallas, what is your pick, Ed?
Philadelphia.
I hate to do this, Steve, but I'm going to go with Dallas.
Yeah, this is Josh's last week on the show. I'm going with Philadelphia.
Here's the thing. The Dallas, and I don't really have time to break this down, but I have a lot of reasons for picking Dallas. I'm picking Dallas as well. Baltimore at Houston. Ed, what's your pick?
Oh, man. Tough call. Houston.
I'm going to go with Ravens.
I'm going Houston.
I'm definitely going to go with the Ravens on... Ed, we certainly appreciate you being with us. That's going to wrap it up for us today, guys. We appreciate you being with us. Remember,
Army Navy game, march in at 11:15, 11:20 on CBS. And it's only appropriate that the Cadence take us out on today's game. We'll see you on Indiana Close Up tomorrow.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
My old granny, she's 91.
My old granny, she's 91.
She does PT just for fun.
She does PT just for fun.
My old granny, she's 92.
My old granny, she's 92.
Stand in her way, she'll run you right through.
Stand in her way, she'll run you right through.
My old granny, she's a 93.
My old granny, she's a 93.
She does PT in a tree.